Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Let the Dead Bury Their Own Dead podcast. I'm your host, Alex Harris. Today, we're going to be doing a lesson called Evangelism 101 in a verse-by-verse study of John chapter 4. Jesus talks with a Samaritan woman. Abba, I pray that you would give me the words to speak and that you'd enlighten the eyes of the hearts of the listeners, that they would be good soil for this seed to be planted on and would go forth and put the word into action. Amen. So Evangelism 101 has 5 points, and we're going to do this by going through the whole book. So first I'll read verse 1 through 3. I don't have anything written on it because it's just the introduction to what's going on. So I'll go ahead and read that. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized but his disciples. When the Lord learned of all this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. All right, so beginning in verse 4. Now, he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. That brings us to our first point. The Father leads you to an unexpected encounter. In John chapter 4, verse 4 through 6, Jesus is traveling through Samaria with his disciples. I think it's important to notice that this encounter was brought while Jesus was open to encounters, but not seeking to manufacture them. Authenticity is a must. Now let's continue. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples went into town to buy food, so he was alone. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" Jews don't associate with Samaritans. Let's see. Yeah, okay. So in John chapter 4, verses 7 through 9, their conversational exchange begins. The beginning of the conversation is rooted in earthly things. Use the gift of spiritual eyes to see a connection to heavenly things using a double meaning. There always is one. He used physical water here to begin talking about living water. Quote, "If you knew the gift of God or who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." That's chapter 4, verses 10. And the encounter has been ordained by God's timing and circumstance, and in the authenticity, begun with attention to earthly matters, which, through the spoken word of the servant, were revealed to be connected to the spiritual. So that brings us next to point 2, engagement from the lost, and then the gospel proposition. So here, beginning in John chapter 4, verses 11 through 12, we find the woman interested and engaged in this nugget of spiritual truth presented to her. So I'll begin. "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his flocks and herds?" So, the sure sign of a lost individual's readiness to receive the gospel is curiosity. That's very important. They have to be curious about the spiritual truth that you have created a double meaning from the earthly truth with through a circumstance that the Father has ordained. Nobody comes to the Son unless the Father first calls them. And you know that somebody's called by the Father if they're put in your path and you have something supernatural with your eyes to see to begin awakening their curiosity. So next, Jesus answers her in John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." He doesn't directly answer her question. She said, "Where can I get it? And what authority do you have to give?" When the fish begins to nibble, motivate it to bite down on its own accord before reeling it in. Jesus makes her more curious and awakens her desire for spiritual truth first by provoking her to ask for it. She says, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty again and have to keep coming back here." That would be verse 15. And so that brings us next to point 3. Explain that this isn't free by making them conscious of sin. So, let's go ahead and read. He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." And she said, "I have no husband." He replied to her, "You're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had 5 husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." So here, Jesus uses the law to make her conscious of sin before he gives her living water, even its meaning, because repentance comes first, then the full gospel of hope. In John chapter 4, verse 16 and 18, Jesus confronts her with her sin. Naturally, the excuses flow. So let's go ahead and read next to verse 19. "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." So, just like Adam and Eve hid from God with blame, "It wasn't my fault," so shall everybody. In John 19, chapter 4, 19 through 20, she tells God's servant that she doesn't even have a proper way to encounter God, so naturally she's separated from him by sin. Next, point 4, declare the hope of redemption to God's presence. In John chapter 4, verse 21 and 24, Jesus gives the hope's end result, reconciliation of you in the presence of God. Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth." He gives her the most eternal truth that comes by salvation, which is worship in spirit and truth. Through the avenue of worship, Jesus implicitly addresses the sin by telling her that the Father seeks worship by the heart and not by where she is. This is also a deeper symbol of a heart willing to change, mattering more to God than her record's whereabouts. Multiple layers are always the trademark of evangelism led by the Spirit instead of by man's knowledge and understanding. And don't we have plenty of that? Amen. So, point 5. Finally, last step, introduce them to Jesus the Messiah. The woman said, "I know that Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." The fifth and final step of evangelism to the lost is to lead them to Jesus. To do this backwards is to take everything personal and everything spiritual out of evangelism and the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus chose to be last when he walked and also to be last when he taught. "I who speak to you am he," says Jesus. All right, and that concludes our study. This was a nice short little lesson. Go ahead and spread this with everybody if they're on missions, because I have seen over and over and over the opening line of people when they're evangelizing is, "Do you know Jesus Christ?" And then they go forth to explain everything about him, and that's backward. You have to unwrap the present. You give them a gift, and then you unwrap it. To tell them to start with the inside before they've even taken off the wrapping paper is to spoil the surprise and also to make sure that they're never curious to take the mantle upon themselves. I know that's heavy, and I know that goes against basically all of our global missions at the moment, but I stand for God's word, not for your traditions. So, Shema O Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Shalom Al-Kharim.